Then Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him!" And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas to them and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him, to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple and put together, plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him and, bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him to the place Golgotha, which is, being interpreted, the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, which what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And a superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, "Behold, he calls Elijah." And one ran and filled the sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, "Let alone. Let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion who stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." So far the reading of God's holy word about Christ and him crucified. I would like to read with you a glorious statement about our belief concerning Christ and him crucified, as expressed in our Belgic Confession in Article 21, page 14 in the back of the Psalter. It's a matter of worship and praise if you read it and believe it. So I encourage you to follow along with me this great confession of faith concerning the satisfaction of Christ, our only high priest for us, page 14 in the back of the Psalter. We acknowledge there, as Christian church and as confessing Christians, we believe that Jesus Christ is ordained with an oath to be an everlasting high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and that he has presented himself in our behalf before the Father to appease his wrath by his full satisfaction, by offering himself on the tree of the cross and pouring out his precious blood to purge away our sins, as the prophets had foretold. For it is written, "He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter and numbered with the transgressors, and condemned by Pontius Pilate as a malefactor, though he had first declared him innocent. Therefore he restored that which he took not away, and suffered the just for the unjust, as well in his body as in his soul, feeling the terrible punishment which our sins had merited, insomuch that his sweat became like unto drops of blood falling on the ground. He called out, 'My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?' and has suffered all this for the remission of our sins. Wherefore, we justly say with the Apostle Paul that we know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We count all things but loss and dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose wounds we find all manner of consolation. Neither is it necessary to seek or invent any other means of being reconciled to God than this only sacrifice once offered by which believers are made perfect forever. This is also the reason why He was called by the angel of God, Jesus, that is to say, Savior, because He should save His people from their sins. Beautiful confession of faith. Today, dear congregation, on this so-called Good Friday holiday in our country, we come here to remember and worship God for Jesus' death on the cross around 2,000 years ago now. Doesn't it seem strange to commemorate and celebrate Jesus' brutal death when crucified on Golgotha? You know, in ancient times, crucifixion was considered one of the most barbaric and shameful ways of death. This very cruel, literally breath-suffocating and blood-draining manner of capital punishment is believed to have been started with by the Assyrians and Babylonians, and the Romans, it is said, quote, perfected this torturous way of death until Constantine the First in the 4th century abolished this practice and forbade it. Crucifixion in Roman times was only for slaves and for criminals, for disgraced soldiers, for Christians, for foreigners, but never, hardly ever, rarely, for a Roman citizen. But the Bible teaches us, Jesus Christ, He whom the Bible says was without sin, who always went about doing good, He was crucified by the Romans, having perfected that practice. Indeed. And we remember today His death on that cruel cross of Calvary. Our sermon theme is, why focus always on Jesus and Him crucified? And this question is related to what we read from Paul in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. What does the Apostle Paul say there? For I determined, I resolved not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And what led me to this text for this service was how often in the scripture reading from Mark, I don't know if you noticed it, you find that word, crucify and crucified. In the passage we read, 8 times the word crucify or crucified is found, and 3 times the word cross was found, just in those verses we read from Mark 15. Mark wants us to know well, as all the gospel writers, Jesus was nailed to a cross. And He hung there, suspended between heaven and earth for 6 hours. From 9 a.m. till 3 p.m. On that Friday, before the most holy Passover Sabbath day was coming. On the Saturday, Jesus suffered that most painful, shameful, suffocating, cursed death on the cross. Yes, even the death on the cross, Paul says in Philippians 2, verse 8. Now, though this is an awful fact, clearly affirmed in all 4 Gospels, have you ever noticed about Jesus' death on the cross that the Bible doesn't go into all the gory details of the physical anguish and torment with such a death? Even in our reading of Mark 15 this morning, what is stressed more than the physical suffering on the cross that Jesus bore, what is stressed more? Isn't it all the ridicule and the mockery Jesus received before His crucifixion and when crucified? Oh, how the people, Jew and Gentile, made fun of Him Do you like being made fun of? They made fun of him. And they scoffed him and they mocked him. And they ridiculed him up and down and all around. So wickedly despising and rejecting him. What suffering this was for Jesus. On top of and beyond just the physical anguish he endured. As terrible as that was too, no doubt. More than anything else as well, who can measure the suffering of Jesus when knowing himself forsaken of God, his own dear Father. As Jesus expressed in that fourth saying on the cross. We read it in Mark 15:34. We are told at the ninth hour, meaning 3 o'clock or almost around that time, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Never can any one of us come close even to the wholehearted and complete human being anguish in soul and body that Jesus was then experiencing. I read a shocking statement this week. The more I thought about it, it's probably true. This person wrote, "Not even Satan himself will know the depths of hell the way Jesus did on the cross." Think about that. Well, today, it's true that wrongly, there is an over-concentration, and even, I would say, sinful, sensual, short-sighted fascination, mostly only on the physical sufferings of Jesus on the cross. And there's so little awareness and appreciation for his spiritual and mental and emotional anguish. Someone told me this week that there's marches of Jesus for Jesus, you know, on the cross. And he said he saw on the news that there was a wheel on the cross as they marched across through the city. There was a little wheel on the bottom of the cross. There was no wheel on the bottom of Jesus' cross. When he carried that wooden beam on his bloody, battered, bruised back. And the movie actors today, they love to play the Passion of Christ. Even playing this most holy moment when Jesus died on the cross. But all such dramatic presentations, dear congregation, are always a blasphemous, idolatrous, and often only simply money-making, terrible misrepresentations of Christ and Him crucified. They do not honor God and His Word. And it does not help at all in glorying in Him, Christ, and Him crucified. We should stay away from such representations of Him. So, what is it to think about always Christ and Him crucified? Well, let's think about it under the preaching of the Word itself, which is the way the Lord will have us magnify this event and understand it truly. We are here today, especially to remember Jesus' death and coming Sunday to focus on His triumphant resurrection from the dead. And we are saying this shouldn't be something done only once a year, but all the time, all through our life. Notice what Paul says in our text. It's his life focus. It's the burden of his gospel ministry all the time. What is? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul is teaching us here, this is the mark of all faithful gospel preachers and of all true believers. Time and again you come back to and you focus again on Christ and Him crucified as the foundation and as the heartbeat, the power and the promise of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Though ministering in the pagan and grossly immoral city of Corinth, Paul knew the one hope, the only help for that people was hearing and learning about Jesus Christ and Him crucified and coming to faith and repentance before Him. Similarly to our text in 1 Corinthians 2, in Galatians, in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 2, in Galatians 6 verse 14, the same apostle testified, "But God forbid that I should glory or boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." The Bible teaches us, dear congregation, most clearly, all true Christians focus on Christ and Him crucified. Not only when becoming Christians, but also all through their lives as Christians and in their Christian witness to others. This is the theme and the center, the front and center, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So let us explain this some more together in this Good Friday message with our theme, why focus always on Jesus Christ and Him crucified? Like as He does in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. Let's think about this motto for His life, following three thoughts in explanation for such a Christian focus. Why focus always on Christ and Him crucified? For one, because it's the point of Jesus' life. It's the point of Jesus' life. In other words, the whole focus of Jesus coming to this earth and all His ministry and His mission, His ultimate goal is His death on the cross. Even the way the four Gospels are written can instruct us about this fact. Very interestingly, each of the Gospel accounts spends about one-third of their writings on just the last week of Jesus' life here on earth. That's true of each of the Gospels. Jesus' righteous, sinless, perfect life as Savior of sinners when living here on earth for about 33 years is most important for our salvation, yes. But it is in and with His death, even His death on the cross, that we see the culmination, the climax of all His life's work and focus in all His gospel ministry. And we can truly say, apart from His crucifixion, His life is meaningless. However, to understand this gospel reality more, that Jesus' crucifixion was the point of His life and all His gospel ministry, we need to review what the Bible teaches us about our fallen and miserable condition and state before God, left to ourselves. We have to speak here a word that's not so often heard anymore, though thankfully it's still heard, also in churches here in Calgary. But it's not heard that much, and it's often even mostly denied and discounted by all too many, in all too many churches, also in our land. The Bible says, we, you and I, and all mankind are fallen, rebellious, wicked sinners before God, left to ourselves. Oh, when God created this universe, as told in Genesis 1 to 3, then He made it a place for mankind, beautiful and good to dwell in, to His praise and to His glory. And when God created Adam and Eve, we know those first human beings were also to represent all mankind. And they were made by God very good and upright. But as Genesis 3 tells us, Adam and Eve wickedly and willfully listened to and followed Satan, the devil, rather than trust and obey God's good word and will. And the result was and is that the whole human race after them came under the just condemnation of God and subject to His wrath, even to His everlasting punishment for all our sins and sinfulness. All the world and all generations and still today lies under the curse of God for our sinful rebellion against the Lord. You know what is most sad? Never can we of ourselves repair the damage done in our falling from the favor of God and having broken His commandments. Always our sins and sinfulness stand in the way of reconciliation with God from our side. The righteous and holy God cannot accept any peace offering from us that is still stained with sin, even in the slightest measure. We need a Savior who can truly present to God on our behalf a perfect, sinless life without a single blot in thought, word, and deed. And at the same time, we need a Savior who can and will pay the full punishment for sin we deserve left to ourselves. But where can such a Savior be found for us? Now, the amazing gospel teaching is that even the very day Adam and Eve fell into sin, as told in Genesis 3, in that very same chapter, in the opening book of the Bible, God Himself declares and promises to us He would send and will provide a Savior for us. And the whole Old Testament history then tells the divinely inspired story of God preparing for the Savior, for the Savior's coming and teaching His covenant people and all people why we desperately need that Savior whom God would provide, who is the one and only Savior we so need, each one and all of us. And all the Old Testament sacrifices for sin point to this Christ whom God would provide, and to His once-for-all sacrifice for sin on Calvary's tree. All the Old Testament prophets, priests, and kings point to Christ Jesus as the chief prophet and only high priest and eternal king for us. Praise God and His faithfulness to His promises that even when the ungodly world had no mind for the Savior that God would provide, and when the religious world had no heart for the Savior whom God would give, nevertheless, in the fullness of time, God still sent Him. He sent His only begotten Son to serve as Savior for us, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus came as that promised Messiah, promised already in Genesis 3:15, the very day Adam and Eve fell into sin, and that this whole world came under the curse and judgment of God for our sins and sinfulness. From the gospel accounts we know Jesus understood His main calling was to seek and to save sinners. And to give His life, therefore, as a ransom for many. And so when Jesus began His public ministry, we are told too, John the Baptist said to Him and about Him, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John 1:29. And the meaning is, Jesus, as the ultimate Passover Lamb, He would give His righteous life and shed His precious blood to save sinners like us, that all finding refuge with this Christ and His shed blood might be spared from the just wrath of God against sin, as we all deserve, left to ourselves. It is striking how often in Jesus' time with His disciples, He aimed to prepare them for His forthcoming brutal death, as well as His triumphant resurrection. You can read it just in Mark 8:31, 9:31, and 10:33 and 34. And just quoting that last example, Mark 10:33, 34, there Jesus foretells to His disciples, "Behold, we go to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn Him to death, and shall deliver Him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock Him, and shall spit upon Him, and shall kill Him. And the third day He shall rise again." You see, Jesus lived His life always with the shadow of His coming death on the cross before Him. And as something He was steadfastly resolved to suffer and endure to be the true Savior for His people. Jesus didn't run from His death on the cross, but He lived daily in view of it and in preparation for it, and even in joyful anticipation of it, for all that it would accomplish. So we read too, for instance, in Hebrews 12 verse 2, that for the joy that was set before Him, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus knew, you see, for this purpose He came, namely to lay down His life for His sheep. And Jesus was aware that through His death on the cross as sin bearer and Savior of sinners, as the one mediator between God and man, God His Father would be so honored, and sinners truly saved and forever saved, and all Scripture fulfilled with His once for all offering for sin as the just for the unjust. Is it clear then to you that this was and remains the point of Jesus' life and ministry, namely, ultimately, His crucifixion on Golgotha? Jesus could be no Savior, and He would be no Savior of sinners, except He lived the perfect holy life. We sinners cannot live of ourselves as guilty, depraved people, and except Jesus suffer and endure the righteous wrath and punishment for our sins that we deserve left to ourselves. You see, Jesus' death on the cross was a substitutionary sacrifice for the salvation of hopeless, hell-worthy sinners like us. This is the gospel teaching behind Paul saying to the people of Corinth, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, dear congregation, children and everyone here, young people, for this gospel message, also this Good Friday 2018, why focus always on Christ and Him crucified? For it to have meaning and impact for good on you and in you, you need to confess the reality of your sins and sinfulness. Do you do that? I heard another preacher this week say, quote, to understand the doctrine of the cross, you got to be willing to embrace and accept and feel the offense of the cross. That is, you need to acknowledge, so great are my sins and miseries of myself that I can never be saved except through this crucified one laying down His life for a wretch like me. Do you acknowledge this before God personally? What a guilty and vile, yes, hopeless, helpless sinner you are of yourself. Are you and I not transgressors of God's holy law and will in countless ways? And people who live in willful disobedience daily, and without question, those who fall far short of the glory of God and His holy standards and perfect will. You know, just reading again Mark 15 about wicked mankind's terrible injustice and horrible mistreatment of a most loving man, a most righteous person, Jesus, who only went about always doing good. Should that not so convict you and me what sinners we are in and of ourselves? Or do you think you'd be different? When He was put before Pilate, you think He would say, no, don't crucify Him. You would say the same, so would I, as that mob did. That's who we are, by sinners by nature. The true history of Jesus and Him crucified as told in the gospel accounts should be so convicting, congregation, of our wickedness by nature and what evildoers, malefactors, literally, we are, each one, left to ourselves. Will you confess this? Not only to learn the glory of Christ and Him crucified, but to see more to the wonders, the gospel wonders of Jesus and Him crucified. And here let's move to our second main point and consider in answer to why always focus on Jesus and Him crucified. One reason is because, as we have seen, this is the point of Jesus' life. But furthermore, notice, it's the power of Jesus' death. It's the power of Jesus' death. The gospel truth is, which we humbly and heartily commemorate and celebrate today as Christian church, that Jesus' death on the cross, Jesus and Him crucified, it's the one offering for sin, whereby full payment, absolutely full payment for sin is now made. Jesus on the cross could declare in His sixth saying from the cross, it is finished, John 19:30. And the meaning is, by His death, Jesus made full atonement for sin. Through Jesus' shed blood, with His death on the cross as sin bearer and as substitute on behalf of His people, as Savior of sinners. Jesus suffered and endured all the wrath of God against sin and the hellish punishment for sin you and I deserve. And this wonderful gospel truth, it's so great that through Jesus' perfect life and death, as ultimately shown in His perfect sin offering now we may have the full forgiveness of all our sins. And we may receive everlasting righteousness before God and total reconciliation with Him and endless deliverance from sin, from Satan, from death, and from hell. We may have that freely offered to us and genuinely given to us, as many as trust and obey this only Savior and Lord. You know, the fact that the moment Jesus died, God also miraculously had that thick curtain in the temple between that holy place and the Holy of Holies ripped in half from top to bottom, means that now through Jesus Christ and His once for all sacrifice, no more sacrifice for sin ever needs to be made. No more blood needs to be spilt for the forgiveness of sins. No priest required anymore ever again. No, not with Jesus, our only high priest, and His one-time, all-time offering on the cross of Calvary. Jesus' death, as planned by God supremely and sovereignly, also being a death on the cross, so brings out, you know what? Jesus took on Himself the curse of sin. Being on a cross was a picture of being cursed, not wanted in heaven, not wanted on earth, hanging in midair as a reject. He took on Himself the curse, and He paid the full punishment for our sins, as the just for the unjust. That's what God's people may confess, with the result now that all who trust and follow Him may forever be delivered from the righteous curse. It's lifted from us, and instead the blessings, the loving and loaded blessings of God and His mercy may be poured out upon us, all for Jesus' sake alone. You know, so many details of the cross highlight this power of Jesus' death. For instance, He was left without His clothes on the cross, that whoever trusts in Him as Savior might be clothed with the garments of salvation, with the robes of righteousness as purchased by Christ and His shed blood on sinners' behalf. Jesus wore a crown of thorns that all who turn from sin and trust Him may receive a crown of glory. We are told in verse 33 of Mark 15 that when on the cross from noon to 3, there was an eerie darkness come over Golgotha and Jerusalem. And it pictured, we know, symbolically, Jesus suffering the judgment of God, that sinners like us might forever escape that judgment and live in the light and experience true and everlasting exodus from the land of bondage. We know, too, Jesus was left forsaken, even by God His Father, when as sin bearer on the cross, He would pay the punishment for sin. He was left forsaken, that His people who trust Him might never be forsaken, but always accepted by God and be reconciled to God and even become His adopted children, sons and daughters of God, all for Jesus' sake alone. Without Christ and His death on sinners' behalf, no one of us as sinners could ever find a way to come into God's presence and live. But now Jesus shed His blood. Through faith in Him, we may have boldness even to enter into the holiest. Yes, by a new and living way which He has consecrated for us, as we read in Hebrews chapter 10. Well, Paul determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because the apostle knew Jesus' death as Savior, even His death on the cross, was by God triune, overruled in spite of wicked man's ways. It was a planned death. It was a propitiatory death. It was a perfect death. It was a priceless death. It was a substitutionary death, giving hope and help for all mankind. Let sinners come to this Jesus and Him crucified for forgiveness of sin, for everlasting righteousness, and for the gift of eternal life freely offered through Christ and Him crucified. In 1 Corinthians 1:23 and 24, Paul testified to the church in Corinth, "We preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block," literally a scandal, "and unto the Greeks, foolishness, but unto them who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." All in all, we have to say, nothing in all the world, dear congregation, can compare to the endless riches and never-ceasing value of the gospel with Christ and Him crucified. And here we come to our third point, briefly moving from Jesus' death on the cross being the point of His life and the power of His death to the preciousness of the gospel itself. Isn't it the preciousness of the Christian gospel that all who confess their sin and rely on Jesus Christ and Him crucified as only Savior to save them, they shall not be put to shame? Think here of that one thief on the cross, crucified beside Jesus, of whom Luke tells us he cried out for mercy even while he was hanging on the cross beside Jesus. At first, yes, he had joined with all the others, including that other thief on the other side, in scoffing Jesus, as Matthew and Mark tell us. But then seeing Jesus beside him in His holiness, in His graciousness, in His love, something stirred in him by the Spirit of God, and he had a change of mind and heart. And he cried out to this Jesus to save also him. "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." He cried to the Savior, and Jesus responded, "Verily I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." Luke 23, verse 39 to 43. And the point is here, congregation, calling out to this Jesus for His saving mercy and help, that poor man and that wretched sinner was wonderfully saved forevermore, all by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Saved through Jesus Christ and Him crucified as Savior of sinners. You know, the other dying thief who did not turn to Jesus in faith, who continued in his rebellion and rejection of Jesus, he went from his horrible torment on the cross to the endless just punishment of God in hell with no escape ever anymore. Yes, Paul the Apostle, he taught this plainly, didn't he? In all his gospel ministry and missionary work, that the only way of salvation and everlasting life in heaven is trusting and following Jesus Christ and Him crucified. While the way of everlasting condemnation and suffering, the punishment of hell forever, is in living and dying and continuing to reject Jesus Christ, refusing to trust and obey Him. The gospel of Christ and Him crucified is not limited to just His death, no, but it includes everything about Him, including His glorious resurrection from the dead on Easter Sunday morning. Jesus' resurrection from the dead declares God's full approval and delight in Jesus' finished work on sinners' behalf as Christ and Him crucified. Nothing more needs to be done for the true and free and just and everlasting salvation of even the worst of sinners who calls out to this Jesus to save also such as you and me. Well, are you calling on Jesus and Him crucified, and trusting Him for the whole of your acceptance with God, for all your salvation from now and forever? Does the Lord Jesus know you as one who calls on Him, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner"? Don't this Good Friday think, as people do, to do God a favor simply by coming to church, at least Good Friday, Easter weekend, to gain some points with Him. No, we can never be saved by anything you and I do, but only always by everything He did. Yes, by Christ and Him crucified. The Bible says in Acts 4, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. If saved, we will be. So instead of thinking to bring something to God, to earn points with Him, favor with Him, we all need to come to the place of leaning wholly only on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. To be saved from our sins and to be reconciled with God and to be assured of plenteous redemption through His once for all sacrifice, even with His death on the cross. Will you be sure to be found in Him today? You can't have a Good Friday nor a blessed Easter apart from being joined to Christ in true faith and repentance before Him. And this is what all true Christians know and learn and keep learning. Christ and Him crucified becomes their all in all, like with the Apostle Paul. And when it's so in your life and mine, by God's grace and Spirit, then we can well identify with the person who wrote, in honor of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, Him to know is life and peace and pleasure without end. This is all my happiness, on Jesus to depend. Daily in His grace to grow, and ever in His faith abide. Only Jesus will I know, and Jesus crucified. Oh, that I could all invite this saving truth to prove, show the length, the breadth, the height, and depth of Jesus' love. Dearly I would to sinners show the blood by faith alone applied. Only Jesus will I know, and Jesus crucified. Even so, may God by His Spirit now bless this gospel word, dear congregation, and give us each and all a very blessed Good Friday and a most joyful Easter. For receiving and believing this gospel word of Christ and Him crucified, as the Lord calls us to do by His grace and Spirit, you know what? You can join in the praises of all the redeemed here and hereafter, testifying always, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, who rose again, yes, the third day, and in whom is found all our salvation. From beginning to end. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Giving endless reasons to glory in Him. Jesus Christ. And Him crucified. Amen.